जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारे, यमुना तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारे, यमुना तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय वाम विष्णु पार परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सर श्री श्रीमद ईस्ट बैंगल्स एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की, श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय, श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय, श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र महारानी की जय, समावेत भक्त वृंद की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we'll be reading from sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, text number 55. Yena prasupta purushah svapam vedatmanastada सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन प्रसुप्ता पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन प्रसुप्ता पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन पुरुषा पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन प्रसुप्ता पुरुषः स्वापं वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्म तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन, बै हूम्? द सुप्रीम ब्राह्मण प्रसुप्तः स्लीपिंग पुरुषः ए मैन स्वापम द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ ए ड्रीम वेदा नोस आत्मनः ऑफ हिमसेल्फ तदा एट दैट टाइम सुखम हैप्पीनेस च आल्सो Nirgunam, without contact with the material environment. Brahma, the Supreme Spirit. Tam, Him. Atmanam, the pervader. Avehi, just know. Mam, me. Translation. Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading super soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. Purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the living entity becomes free from false ego, he understands his superior position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Thus, due to Brahman, even while sleeping, the living entity can enjoy. The Lord says, that Brahman, that Paramatma, and that Bhagavan are I myself. This is noted by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालं अंगं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं तेन तारिणं। They say that lightning doesn't strike twice. Even more rarity is lightning doesn't strike twice at the same place. Unfortunately for all of you, in the last few weeks, lightning is striking the second time. I'm sitting here trying to speak few words. The last time I was gently asked by our temple commander to speak, and I obliged. And this time, the order came even from higher authorities. So of course, as long as there is tongue, it always wants to chat. It always wants to talk. So I think there is some propensity that the higher authorities saw that maybe I should use in some things, some nice speech, at least in front of all of you, by your inspiration and blessings. So I've been given this service, and hopefully I will try to see if I can make it worthwhile your time. So the verse we read just now is a continuation of the few verses where, believe it or not, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking himself. It is very rare in the Shastras that we see that the Lord himself speaks, especially in a scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam. There are like 12 cantos. It is about Krishna, but Krishna doesn't speak all the 18,000 verses by himself. Of course, one may feel odd also, like, who is this? Like, he's just boasting himself left and right all this while. Rather, it is his devotees who are expressing their realizations in various forms at various times throughout the whole manifestation of the cosmic universe and beyond also. About their realizations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we get to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead through our main channel is their devotees. And sometimes Krishna may himself speak. It is very rare, like I just said. And an example of that is Krishna was always a friend to Arjuna, and he never spoke saying or asking Arjuna, do this, don't do that, until the seventh verse in the second chapter, where Arjuna surrenders himself and says, I am your disciple. Until at that moment, Krishna doesn't really get into that zone of instructing or saying anything about higher principles. So at that point, Arjuna surrenders and he comes out of this so-called illusion, or at least realizes that he is in illusion and he needs some help, some higher intervention. So he accepts the same very friend with whom he was joking all this time or until that moment in his life as his spiritual master. And that is a big step. anyone's life. And what to speak of Arjuna? Because he's a king. And here he is, and there's nothing. He's Savyasachi. With the left and right hands, he can shoot arrows. There's nothing that he's lacking, so to say. Yet, he surrenders, he takes a humble position and asks Krishna to instruct him what to do. That is the dynamic which Krishna uses to teach Arjuna. And throughout this Bhagavatam also, Krishna uses various personalities. It is not that Krishna has some ulterior motive to say that, okay, these devotees are going to speak about me. But those devotees speak out of their affection for Krishna. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada discusses that favorable service and unfavorable service about Rupa Goswami's principle of Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anavratam Anukulyena, that principle of Anukul. So Kamsa was also thinking, and Kamsa was also always talking about Krishna. And in case of Lord Chaitanya, so many personalities. One example we can think of is Ramachandra Puri. He was criticizing as and when there is opportunity for any fault finding Lord Chaitanya. That is not devotional service. That is not favorable. That is not Krishna conscious. That's not the consciousness one is advised to carry, but in a favorable manner. So those devotees who are glorifying Krishna through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam are favorable. And regarding this sixth canto, this is my inspiration while reading this chapter. This canto is titled as Prescribed Duties of Mankind. There are 12 cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it can be said about, it is said about the same thing about Bhagavad Gita, that out of the 18 chapters, the first six chapters are Karmakanda, the middle chapters are bhakti, devotional service, and the next six chapters are jnana. So the bhakti portion is sandwiched, is said, in the middle of these six chapters. That means it is very confidential. So, and it's very important. That's the substance, that's the essence of Bhagavad Gita, those six chapters. When I was reading this canto, or going through the summary of this canto, that's the inspiration I got, that the prescribed duties of mankind, which is all of us, and not just man, or as in human beings, but all living entities, are given in this chapter through some key examples of Krishna's devotees. We discussed the example of Ajamil, discussed the example of Rudrasura, and now we are discussing the example of Chitraketu. This canto brings us, the intention is to bring us from the platform of attachment to perfection. Chitraketu was attached of having a child, and his desire was fulfilled somehow. First he was taught that it's not a desire worth having, but he kept on to that. And somehow the desire was fulfilled. And only to teach him a lesson or make him learn the duality, the impermanent nature of anything that we get in the three modes of material nature, within the three modes of material nature. So he got a child and he was bereft of the child within no time. So he was sad. And there was the intervention again of the pure devotees of the Lord. Two devotees, Angira and Narada Muni. And from the stage of attachment, these two devotees have brought him to the stage of perfection. Simply by accepting their instructions, their guidance, and chanting, taking initiation, chanting the mantra, Within 7 days, he was able to see the Lord face to face. And as soon as he saw the Lord, his voice choked. He couldn't speak. He was in love of Godhead, all symptoms of ecstasy. Somehow he composed himself and offered some words of prayers, appreciation, and glorification for the Supreme Lord. Someone may say this is storybook. No, it's may sound like, but this is truth. A person who has attachment like anything can be brought up to the perfection stage. And guess what? Right after that, the Lord speaks. Until that time, the Lord, his devotee, is to teach. And now the Lord is speaking himself. It's very rare. Queen Kunti, who is in one sense, greater devotee and very affectionate towards Krishna right from the beginning, offered prayer after prayer, prayer after prayer in the 8th chapter of first canto. And do you know what Krishna did at the end of those prayers? He smiled. He simply smiled at her. Of course, one may say he can do whatever one. If he wants, he can speak a whole Bhagavatam class then and there. But he chose to smile at her out of her affection, out of his affection towards her, and receiving her affection towards him. Whereas he is choosing to speak, why? Because we just read that Chitraketu is reached the level of perfection. What is there once you see the Lord face to face? What else is there to achieve anything? But still, Krishna is using him to teach us, just like he uses Arjuna to teach us the whole Bhagavad Gita. He's using us. He's using Chitraketu to teach us. One can say, yes, he is also teaching simultaneously Chitraketu. But the lessons are for us. So, in the previous verse, the two verses are describing about the Lord's nature as the all-pervading super soul. And in this verse also, he is continuing that. He is saying, the translation I will read again, know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading super soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. When I read this verse in this very short purport, my thoughts went to one main inspiration. The inspiration is, or the understanding is, that we are sleeping, whether at night, which is obvious, or the most important understanding is also that during daytime also, we are sleeping thinking that we are this body, we have these attachments, we have these designations, I have a job, certain duties, certain occupation, certain family, certain relatives, so on and so forth, certain names, certain country, and all those. That was discussed in the previous verse, that how people designate or associate false egoistically through different ways. But we are not. We are actually the part and parcels of Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. And this verse is saying that we are not supposed to be in that sleeping condition. So Krishna is gently waking us up. And like I said just now, Krishna uses his instruments. And he himself comes for this purpose, to wake us up from the dormant, forgetful condition. We have in the current state, even when it is daylight, we don't act like we are awake. awake to the principles of Krishna consciousness, awake to the religious practices, awake to the ultimate aim of life. That's missing. So Krishna is awakening us in us. What is our real nature? Who are we? In that sense, he is giving us this instruction to put us from a dormant stage, from attachment to awakening and perfected stage. So I have a couple of inspirations that I wanted to share. Like I said, Krishna himself comes, and we may have noticed, or at least one of my inspirations during major festivals is, do you know, like for example, let's take Janmashtami festival. In this whole temple, all of you, all of us do various services. Who gets the least rest that day? Who gets to sleep the least? I can think of two devotees, but or who gets to do the most? Any guessworks? Huh? Vishwakarma Prabhu, that's one answer, yes. Any other answers? Huh? Very good. Krishna. On the day of Janmashtami, at morning 3:50, the Mangalati Pujari wakes up Kishore Kishori. And from that moment onwards, dressing, offering Mangalarti, dressing, Shringararti, curtains open. He's standing right there all the time. And festival means special darshan. That means 1 to 4, no nap. Stand there, right there. And festival means special abhishek, special, like, tons of flowers, tons of, course, this is all in opulence of the Lord. Out of our affection, we are offering something to him. But I'm just stating that how Krishna reciprocates in various manners. And at night, 10 o'clock, he gets the curtains closed, but not like he's dusting or anything. At 10 o'clock, usually we close the curtains at 8 and dust the deities by 8:15, done. The deities are sleeping. But 10 o'clock, he gets to take another dress. He gets to wear another dress because he wants to appear in front of us at midnight. And midnight, we're all singing, dancing, all the ecstatic kirtan. And everybody at 12:30 on substates. Guess what happens? Kishore Kishore is still awake because they have to be changed into their night dress. So the pujaris are still working. In this decoration, that dress, all those things. And at almost 2 o'clock, depending on the pujari, some pujaris are very efficient, they can finish it fast. But it almost takes, give or take, 1:30, 2 o'clock, the deities are put to bed. And if it is at my house, there's no worship for the next 1 week for the deities. But this is Kishore Kishore temple. And guess what is next day? Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. Even if it is any other day, again the pujari comes up and wakes them up at 3:50. That means 1 hour, 50 minutes of sleep in the last 24 hours. So-called sleep. Why is Kishore Kishore doing for this? What is it that they want? He is the Supreme Lord. He can have anything in this whole world. What to speak of some rest? My inspiration is that it is to keep us awake on such auspicious day. In his thoughts, in their remembrance, somehow to engage us. He's taking all the austerities, standing in the three-bend form. Treatment pose. He doesn't have anything to get from us. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he came in the form of Lord Krishna himself, comes in the form of his devotee. And
Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings in the prayers, Jeev Jago prayers, that wake up, sleeping soul, Lord Chaitanya has come to give the ultimate love of Godhead through the chanting of the holy names. So when Krishna came, he gave Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and of course his own holy name. And most importantly, these are propagated through the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used his devotees to preach us this message. And the message I am talking about is how he uses his pure devotees for bringing somebody who is at the lowest level to the level of perfection. For example, Jagai and Madai. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was happily singing, having sankirtan at Srivast Thakurangan. And then he ordered Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, that go out and give this message. And they both took that message and literally went door to door. Not just standing in one corner of the street and whoever comes and we will ask. But door to door. Whether the people are willingly taking or whether the people are not cooperative, rather offensive, still they were just giving. And they saw these two personalities, Jagai and Madhai. They were very offensive. And by their mercy, the mercy of the pure devotees, in this case, Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, they were somehow given the opportunity to receive, and still they offended, they blasphemed, they did the biggest blunder of their lives by hitting Nityananda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate that. Whatever it is, he's okay with that. But when it comes to the offending the devotees, he's not okay. And these devotees who are risking their lives for giving the message, his message, irrespective of whatever disqualifications these people have, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they were giving the message. So he got very angry and he took out his Sudarshan Chakra. And by the appeal of Lord Nityananda, again the intervention of the pure devotee, Lord Chaitanya forgave them. Lord Chaitanya said, if you forgive, then I will forgive. That's his mood. That's the mood of Krishna. So through the agency of pure devotees, in this case, again, Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, she could bring some lowly creatures into the perfect stage to receive the mercy. For us, these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam are given by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He would write these translations when the whole world is sleeping. Literally sleeping. From midnight to probably 2:30, he would be taking his daily rest at night for 2 to 2.5 hours. The rest from 10 o'clock, after he wakes up from 2:30 or so, he is all the time translating these books for us. So he has sacrificed the sleep. For what reason? So that we can wake up from our sleeping condition. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, when we speak of pure devotees like himself, it is not that there is a distinction between his sleeping condition or awakening condition. One time I was reading, I think it was Nectar of Devotion, with a family. And the family has a couple and a small daughter. I know the daughter from probably 4 or 5 years, sorry, 6 or 7 years old. And now she is probably 18, 19. So this happened a few years ago, but when she was a teenager. So I was telling her that, hey, Srila Prabhupada's instruction for us is chanting 16 rounds, whereas his spiritual master's instruction, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has ordered us to chant 64 rounds. But because we are so occupied with so many different things. When Prabhupada's disciples approached him, he said, okay, at least 32. And then they said, no, 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 even 32 is also too much. He said, 16 minimum, no more argument. When I said this, this is what I feel some of the teenagers have. She's very innocent. She's very, very gentle hearted also. But the question kind of provoked me, not provoked in a bad sense, but made me think. She asked me, if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked, his instruction was to 64 rounds, and Prabhupada said us to chant 16 rounds, how many rounds was Prabhupada chanting? Was he chanting 64 or 16? I kind of felt like, oh, I don't know the answer. So I told her, I don't know the answer. But I thought and I said, for us, we have to follow these rules and regulations because we are forgetful of Krishna. For Srila Prabhupada, these rules and regulations, they don't work. They don't apply. He is always conscious of Krishna. Can you spot a moment where you can say that, oh, Prabhupada is not thinking about Krishna at this moment? That's not true. So, irrespective of whatever rounds he is chanting or not, all the time he is with Krishna. That's the perfection of a pure devotee. Another example I heard from a devotee is in case of Prabhupada, like in those days, wherever Prabhupada would go, the disciples will think like, oh, Srila Prabhupada is right now in San Francisco. From there, he would go to LA, from LA to San Diego, from San Diego to Japan, from Japan to India, from India to Africa, and then he would come back to New York. So one time Prabhupada said, while you are thinking all this, that I'm in so many different places, please note that I am always with Krishna. So it is not that Prabhupada is in LA, it is not that Prabhupada in Chicago, Prabhupada in somewhere. All the time he is with Krishna. His thoughts are with Krishna. He is Krishna conscious. As in later chapters we read, Lord Shiva himself says about the condition of a pure devotee, whether they are in higher planets or a lower planet, hellish planet, they are always happy. They are always situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the condition. That is the perfect condition of Srila Prabhupada. And such a person is giving us this message, sacrificing so many hours of his own blood, his own sweat, his own sleep, eating. And these books, when we read, we should understand that these were written when every one of us is sleeping, literally and also during daytime or figuratively. So he's waking us up through these books by sharing these realizations about these devotees. There is a reference of Krama Sandarbha by Sri Jiva Goswami. Now who has the time to read the Krama Sandarbha? Or who has the intellectual capacity to understand this book? But Srila Prabhupada read it. He referenced, he understood from the disciplic succession, and he is using that reference to say that the same thing that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabjete, the Bhagavatam, that absolute truth and three features can be realized. Now, that's the beauty, that's the gift that Prabhupada is giving us. So these are all very nice. One can say that where do I stand or what is our level? To explain this, I would like to narrate a story. The story goes like this. One time, a mother and father, on a Monday morning, the mother tries to wake up the child. The child is 8 years old and it is about 8 o'clock to go to school. And he's still in bed. The mother comes and, child, wake up. And the child is like, oh, mom, I don't know. I don't feel like going to school. And then the mommy says, come on, it's time. You will miss the school bus. Have to get up, take shower, get ready. Then he says, no, I feel like I have a fever. Can I not go to school today? And then motherly affection, she says, she puts her hand and doesn't look like you have so much fever, but if you're not so well, that's okay. Take rest, but only today, not tomorrow again. Don't do this. Okay. And then he takes the blanket, covers, sleeps. And then the father gets ready for his work, and then he asks his wife, okay, it's time. I have to drop the kid. Where is he? She says, he's in the bed. He's in the bed? What's it? It's Monday morning. He has to go to school. She says, no, it seems like he has some fever. The father understands. So he says, he comes into the room, brings her, the mother also. And then he says, oh, is it really? Let me wake up. And then he tries to wake him up. Child doesn't wake up. He says, child, wake up. It's time to go to school. He doesn't wake up. And then the father thinks again. And he says to his wife, it seems like he's really saying the truth. He's not waking up. Maybe he is sick. You know what it is? It could be the new infection that is around the town. It's called the MMF. And then the wife asks, oh, is that so? What is it? How do I know? I thought it's some kind of fever, but I didn't know that it's infection. What are the symptoms? You know, if this is very prevalent in these aged kids, in this running all over the air, so you have to be careful. The symptom of this infection, particular infection, is when the child, when they have this, although they are sleeping, the right pinky and left thumb, they will be shaking all the time. If they have this disease, then this is what will happen. And we should not disturb such personalities. Such children should let them recover. And then the mother understands. She takes away the blanket. And ting, 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 ting. The kid is showing, shaking his left, right pinky and left thumb. So, the reason I share this is that although some devotees may come, although they may wake us up, we're reluctant because we feel a sense of comfort in our sleeping condition. We feel that I am okay, why are you bothering me? Or I am not okay, why are you bothering me? You can preach this message to somebody who is in perfect condition. I have so many worries. Why are you bothering me? I have to take care of this. I have to take care of that. So that's our condition, that the devotees take so much, like Srila Prabhupada, so many austerities, so many sacrifices they have to go through to give us this message, this book. But we are reluctant to receive the message. And in the same story, it continues about few years after that, the child grows up, and then he goes through certain stages of life, and life is, imagine, or believe it or not, it can be difficult at times. So he goes through some difficulties. And to get some relief, he says, okay, I should do something. I should get some consultation. There in the street, he sees a big sign for a famous astrologer. And then he says, okay, maybe he can fix it up for me. I'm not having good luck. So he goes in and then he says, can you see what's going on with me? And then the person sees him and then, okay, I see your palm and looks like until the age of 40, I have bad news for you. You're going to experience so many difficulties, so many atrocities, so many tribulations. It's unimaginable. I feel very sorry for you. So be strong, he says. Then this guy asks him, oh, is that so, Swamiji? Then does that mean after 40, I'll be happy? My luck will turn around? All my fortunes will be built up? And then the astrologer looks at him gravely and he says, no, son, you'll get used to them. So that's the condition of life. It is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. There is no remedy. There is no, it's just that we get used to these things. We get used to this sleeping condition. We get used to this, oh, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to take this message. Leave me alone. Why are you bothering me? So Krishna comes, his messengers come. Just like the fever, when the medicine, Prabhupada gives this example also, has to be given. The mother puts the medicine in a laddu and gives it to the child. Otherwise, he wouldn't eat. So somehow or other, Krishna, his messengers, they try to somehow or other give these instructions, give this message, give us some guidance so that we can receive it. But it's not easy. There is so much reluctance. To narrate this duality, I will give one more example and share something and end. Later in his later stages of life, he experiences our same hero in our story. He goes, because he has some difficulty with his health, he goes to a doctor, and the doctor sees him. He says, you know, in the allopathy, like, nothing is, like, in Ayurveda, they just see your pulse, and they will see what's wrong with it, with you, with the body. But in allopathy, they have to draw a bunch of blood. They have to do x-ray, they have to do urine test, this culture, that test. So he runs all kinds of tests. The bill is too big for the guy. He's already, poor guy, he's already in so many difficulties. His health is not good, and he goes to the doctor and he kind of takes him to the bank. So he asks the doctor comes into his room, the patient's, the or hero's room. And as you can imagine, the doctor looks at him gravely, takes out his glasses, looks at him seriously, and he says, I have a good news and a bad news. And the guy asks him, oh, bad news I've been hearing all my life. Tell me, doctor, what is the good news? I want to hear some good news. The doctor says, oh, the good news is there is going to be a disease named after you. That means he's going to die soon. That's the bad news that he didn't share. So this is the duality of the material world. At every step. And we are absorbed in that duality. We identify with that duality. I'm happy now, I'm sad now. Today I cannot wake up. Today I cannot do this. Today I cannot do that. I'm speaking about myself. Today is January 1st. It is not a Vaishnava festival or anything. But any impetus that we can carry in this material world to progress our path towards Krishna, that we can use. So it's time for me to think about some of my own, where I'm lacking and where I want to go in the next year. So that's what is inspiring me to speak like this. So hearing, that's the key for us to go beyond this conditioned life. Krishna is speaking, we have to hear. His messengers are speaking, you have to hear. Through the pages of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is speaking, you have to hear. Hearing means, later in three or four verses, Krishna says specifically to apply. It's not a passive hearing, in other words, you have to act. It's not that somebody says, hey, your house is on fire. Get up, and then you say, yes, I heard it. That's fine. I heard you, you can carry on. I got the message. That's not what the kind of hearing is. If our house is on fire, we already get up and run out. So that's the kind of message that we are being given. And there is a conditioning that we feel like we have to wait for something. Sometime back, one devotee, Gauranga Prabhu, was narrating a very interesting anecdote. That one time he was asked, like he in India, he preaches in Bombay. He's a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And he, Prabhupada, preached in English. In some occasion, he also preached in Hindi also. But he was giving a class in Hindi. At the end of the class, orthodox, not orthodox, but a conventional Indian personality approached him and he asked, "Aap angrezi mein kyun class dete ho? Hindi mein nahi kyun denge?" He said, "Why are you giving classes in Hindi? Why can't you speak in Hindi? Because Krishna to Hindu hai, Krishna to Indian hai. Yahan pe paida hua hai because Krishna appeared here. He's Hindu God. And philosophy, everything is Hindi. Why can't you speak any Hindi?" So he said, "Agar aapki baat maanna hai to, if I have to listen to you, to mujhe class Sanskrit mein dena padega." So he said, "I have to speak in Sanskrit. Will you come?" Because Krishna spoke all the verses in Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. The Bhagavatam is in Sanskrit. I have to speak in Sanskrit. Would you be coming?" The gentleman bowed his head. So that's our conditioning. We have to wait. We will give some excuse or other. It has to be like this. If it's coming this way, that's not mercy. If it's coming this way, that's not good. If I'm asked to do this, then what is this? To conclude, I want to share my personal appreciation also. because this is important occasion, and we are, as a temple, are going through a phase in which we have, I don't take the names here, but I will say at least two devotees, and we all know who they are. they're taking so many pains, and I know this devotee who used to work in a big marketing company, nice family, nice town home, suburban life, duties at home. Wonderful. Everything is good. Krishna conscious wise, preaching, everything is good. But all of a sudden, give up everything, all that comforts. Move close to temple, take up active role in the temple administration. And child, how to raise a child. It's not easy. For those of us who are not married, those of us who have married but no children, we feel like our own, maintaining our own, a pair of clothes yesterday or sometime, yesterday, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu was saying, as a brahmachari, when you join the temple, you get a pair of clothes, something. Maintaining those itself is a big difficulty, like we don't know where it's, something happens. So what to speak of maintaining a family and a child, raising a child, and taking it that level, taking to that level and accepting voluntarily for something higher, but to for the benefit of all of us. Few Janmashtamis ago, midnight, we did the closing, and one that Mataji, again I said I don't name the Mataji's name. That Mataji, she dressed the deities at midnight, and then 3 o'clock, like I said, 3:50, Mangalarti, wake up the deities. She said that, "Oh, it's okay, I can just wake up the deities. I don't have to go to bed." Why? And now staying here, I mean, staying in the temple, I'm not saying, but there is a level of comfort that we all choose. But we see personalities. In other words, this book, we don't have to go too into the case of Chitraketu, who, oh, I see, is that what happened? We don't have to go too far to look for examples. The examples are right in the middle of us. And we can take inspiration. Tomorrow I want to wake up because here is an inspiration. Today I want to chant because here is an inspiration. Today I want to do some service because here is an inspiration. Right in the middle of us, living in the middle of us, eating in the middle of us, sleeping in the middle of us, chanting in the middle of us, dancing in the middle of us, for what? Why do they have to take so much inconvenience to be in the middle of us? Because there is some higher pleasure that they experience. And one can say, oh, that's their service. Yes, but there are so many different ways service can be done. There are like about dozen pujaris or something that are currently on yatra. And they all have, in their absence, the services, Kishore Kishore, don't simply rest. We don't simply say, okay, from 7 offerings, we will say 3 offerings. No, that's not the case. So that has to continue. That means somebody is taking up something extra. For what? So that we can all benefit. That's some inspiration and some appreciation. And some understandings I wanted to share. If there is any comments. One time Einstein has a driver. You know the story? Einstein and his driver. Einstein was going everywhere to give presentations on quantum mechanics, quantum physics, something, some hi-fi technological issues. And his driver was always with him. And one time he said, oh, today I don't feel like giving the presentation. The driver said, I heard your presentation so many times. Even I can give. He said, oh, is that so? And he said, yeah, that's fine. But I just want you to sit in the thing and let me know how it feels. He says, towards the end, the Einstein pretends to be the driver. The driver pretends to be the Einstein. So driver presents the topic. Bravo, super, excellent. And when the question answers time came, a gentleman gets up and he says that, not wakes up from the Bhagavatam class, he gets up from the presentation. He asks a question. Driver has no clue. He says, I only heard the presentation and you're asking me the question. He doesn't say that. So he says, oh, this is so simple. Even my driver can answer. Driver, come on here. So unfortunately for me, the person who asked me to give this class is not here. So if you ask me questions, I may not be able to answer, but still there are 2 minutes. Anybody want to ask anything or comments? Acharya.
Thank you very much for the very insightful class, Prabhu. I just had a question in regards to Bhagavatam. You mentioned this middle section is the middle section is you were. I didn't follow that point. You were mentioning this is just like the essence of Bhagavatam or something?
That's my inspiration, I said. Just like Bhagavad Gita. The prescribed duties of mankind, that is how this canto is titled. So the duty is that we as human beings are required to perform is given in this canto, or the lessons that we can learn and apply is given in this canto. That's my inspiration, I said. That's not something I heard, but just wanted to share in contrast or in comparison with Bhagavad Gita, how the essence is in the middle. I felt like in the sixth canto, because Prabhupada says this also in the chapter summary, that the first three cantos before discusses the creation, sub-creation, and the planetary systems, third, fourth, fifth cantos. Those are the 3 of the 10 topics that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And in this canto specifically, the Lord's poshana, or the protection aspect, is mentioned. How the Lord protects the living entities, that's mentioned, the poshana. And that's my inspiration, like I said, how we can take lessons from this canto to lead our lives.
Jai, thank you. I definitely agree with you. Just as far as the essence, though, I think the 10th canto steals the prize for that. I mean, it's described as summum bonum. So just appreciating the 6th canto has a certain aspect, but it's the longest section by far. And I think that's an important point. But obviously, it has so much context in the lives of devotees, which I was really appreciating how you were highlighting, that the devotees' pastimes is how we understand the message of the Bhagavatam, and how it's, we don't have to look so far. We have everyday access to. But again, thank you so much for the class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
8:31. Jitendriya Prabhu, please forgive me. Hemangi Mataji, please forgive me if I said something inappropriately. Okay, thank you all very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.